I would stay awake and draw and write and just anything constantly. Yeah, I was just constantly just wanting to make something.
This is Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. Each show focuses on how someone uses their unique talent to create something from nothing. I'm Justin Lewis. Today's show features Grace Yoakum. Grace will talk about her mindset when writing a poem, where she does some of her visual art, and ways she has collaborated with other artists. Grace, welcome to the show, and why don't you start by telling me, what was your first form of art that you pursued?
Thank you for having me on the show. My first form of art that I pursued, I would have to say, is probably writing. My mother used to read Lord of the Rings to me every night, and I made her read it to me more often than she really wanted to, and that was the first time that I recognized that that was actually a viable pursuit, is to create a whole new world. I would write anything that popped into my little head, you know. It kind of evolved into poetry later on when I learned about poetry. But I don't consider myself to be strictly a poet. I'd be more like a just writer. I enjoy different forms of expression.
In addition to introducing you to literature, did you have other artistic influences at home?
Yes, my mom, she actually is a very talented painter, artist. She used to do that a lot. She has this decoupage that she made out of mini magazines. It's rather large, actually. I don't know the exact measurements, but she cut out all of these pieces and made a boat scene, and it's absolutely beautiful. And that was the most recent one that she did. My dad is a musician, and he's a singer-songwriter. He makes all sorts of songs. He used to sing about all of us, and it was really a very nice way to grow up, you know.
Yeah. You were no stranger to the artistic process growing up.
Yeah, not at all, not at all, and very encouraged as well. I'm very lucky.
Okay, so I've read some of your poetry. One of the places is on the chalkboard at Piper's, where you're a barista. Tell me a little bit more about where you write poetry and what that creation process is like for you.
Well, it depends on what kind of poem I want to do. If I'm going to be doing a freestyle poem, normally it happens whenever I'm inspired by an object, an event, a thought, something. But sometimes if it's more of a structured poem, then I'm going to be more inclined to sit down, have the first draft, think back on the best way to, because different words that you use are going to have different phonetic. So you're going to need to keep that in mind whenever you're trying to create a certain mood or a certain speed, you know. Everything is very, very key when trying to evoke any kind of response from an audience member or reader.
So is there a certain type of style that you prefer over another when you're writing a poem?
I'm very gestural. I really don't have a specific style that I prefer above the other, except that I do prefer to just write, just freestyle.
All right, so I want you to tell us a little bit about where we're standing and kind of where you do a lot of your work.
Well, my apartment is a small one, so the living room is my studio. Mm-hmm. There's a corner in it where I put my easel. It's almost perfect because it's right by the window. It's just the perfect size for my easel. I normally try to keep it pretty clean just so that I'm not frustrated and looking for a pencil at, 2 in the morning and throwing things around, but that does happen.
So right now, I'm looking at a painting with a picture in front of it.
Yeah, I have this horrible habit of picking stuff up and then starting something else. What you're looking at right now is the painting is one of my personal projects that I unfortunately have not been able to finish because one of the dogs that I live with actually chewed on one of the corners. So I have to cut off like form it a little bit, I guess. So I just haven't gotten around to that. So it's just sitting there because it's the only place for it to sit because it's pretty big. But then in front of it is an actual commissioned piece that I'm working on right now, which has to sit somewhere too. So,
so somebody that is a painter, poet, drawer, writer, sometimes has to do project to project. For some reason, that's not a shocker to me.
I will start something and then stop and then start something else and then stop that and then start the other thing again. If I get into a groove, since it is it doesn't happen all the time, I like to stay in it. And so if I go to sleep or if I stop doing something and do something else, then it throws off the groove and you have to beware the groove So
Paducah has tons of artists, including Tommy Stewart, a talented photographer, and your beau, who is getting some pictures here today as we talk. The two of you have had some opportunities to collaborate based on some things that I've seen on social media. One group collaboration that you're a part of is the art collection at Mellow Mushroom. I'd like for you to talk about your puzzle piece a little bit.
Well, I got the commission puzzle piece about a week after my dog Bashful died. I guess pursuit of closure. I put her on to the puzzle piece as a memorial for her life. You know, she was a big part of my, I guess, development in 2016, and I thank her a lot for that. And I don't know. I put a lot of little things into that puzzle piece just to kind of reference her moving on from this life.
I'll be on the lookout for the puzzle piece at Mellow Mushroom. You personally organized a community collaboration down by the riverfront. Could you tell me more about how that happened?
I actually went down. I just got a piece of plywood from Home Depot, primed it, and got some people donated house paint, and went down to the river and just made a Facebook event and was like, "Hey guys, come paint with me. Let's have fun today." Yeah. And so quite a few people actually showed up, and I was super impressed. Just like it was fun. And everybody got their hands dirty. No one used a brush hardly at all. You know, one of the girls came and she just glued some rocks that she brought onto it. You know, it was a very interesting process. Okay. And I learned a lot, and I kind of want to do it again.
All right. So where did this painting go? Where is it at now?
It's actually hanging in the mayor's office, I believe. Brandy has it. Nice. And he's taking good care of it.
I like the way that you included the entire community into that project. You are a locally trained artist. You attended the Paducah School of Art and Design.
Yes, I did. And I was taught by the faculty there, and they're absolutely incredible. Randy Simmons taught me how to draw. John Hasegawa was really good with sculpture. I'm not a sculptor at all, but I really do enjoy working in clay. You learn a lot of patience. So it was an incredible experience, and I'm very lucky to have had that school at my disposal. Mm-hmm. All the things that make up what you do that you don't necessarily think about, composition, mm-hmm. is just the 2D design, which is color theory, basically, was extremely important. I really didn't want to take that, but Bilan was an incredible asset to my development. It's just all the little things that you don't necessarily think about whenever you're drawing or writing or doing anything, but you need to keep them in mind because it's how you manipulate the viewer, basically. you can influence more effectively if you have the basic understanding of this is why you're feeling this. This is why this color is affecting you this way. This is why this line looks better than this line. You know, it's a very good program, and I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of like you don't know what you don't know sometimes, and obviously someone can paint something, someone can write something, someone can draw something, but it sounds like your experience at the art school was that you were able to add a whole nother level
as far as how to do art.
Oh, yes. A more black and white artist at the beginning of my artistic career, simply because, you know, I would always work in ink, and color is scary. It's a whole nother dev. For example, I would always use, like, a black for a shadow, you know, or a line, but whenever I should be using the complementary color to that, you know, it's those little things where, like, if you know to look it up, you can learn it, but if you don't, then you have no, like, reference, basically. So that was basically what PSAD was. It was a, this is your reference.
In addition to learning local, you also had an opportunity to study abroad. Tell me about that experience.
Basically, I took photography and landscape drawing over in Italy. And that was a wonderful experience, for sure. Met a lot of very exciting and lively people.
How would you say that's made an impact on the art that you do now here in Paducah, Kentucky?
Well, I draw a whole lot more arches. I have a lot more architectural intrigue, I think, in my expression now. I never really noticed architecture until I went to the place where architecture is the most prevalent thing. You know, like, it's gorgeous. All the archways, all of the Baroque, all the, like, very, very old and enchanting, almost. Columns and architecture is just absolutely incredible. Also, I got to meet quite a few very interesting people over there and kind of gauge a expectation that Italians had of American tourists. You know, it just kind of helped me place myself a little bit more in that in the world that I live in.
Where are some places that you get inspiration for your artistic endeavors?
Nature, in general. I mean, if you look around, you can learn a lot about color, about light, about form, about quality of line, about, I mean, for writing, it's incredibly important to pay attention to what you're thinking and feeling and seeing around you and trying to draw attention to injustices or just paradoxes that happen in the society that we live in. Mm-hmm.
So where in this area do you go for nature experience?
Well, I always lived out in the Shawnee National Forest, so I will go out there if I'm really craving a little bit of nature. Honestly, though, nature is everywhere. I mean, you can, it's the weed growing up through the crack in the sidewalk. It's the tree on your corner. It's the dust in your window pane. It's really not hard to find if you're looking for it. Right now I'm working at Piperstein Coffee, which in itself is an art form. So I honestly am one of, I consider myself to be extremely lucky in that I'm able to experience not only writing and art and make money at those, but then also I can also like do basically a culinary art as well.
Well, you are a fantastic barista, if I do say so myself. So I'm going to test you. I'm going to put you right on the spot. I had a usual that I used to get when I first came into Piper's all the time. And I was first impressed by all the Piper staff, including you, because you quickly realized what my usual drink was. I'm going to see if you still remember.
The red gray. Iced red gray.
Grace, I want you to close us out here by reading one of your poems. I want you to tell me why you selected the particular poem that you did, and then go ahead and read it after that. This has been Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved.
We are in a world that we take for granted a lot of the time, but whenever you look out and you can see actually that people are making steps toward helping and everybody has their small part. Yes, maybe you can't be a huge influence now, but you can definitely help a little bit. And you know, maybe sometime in the future, if you work for it, if it really means something for you, you'll be able to accomplish what you set out to do. Mama stacked plants on their heads in the springtime. I'd watch her, turn the soil with yellow gloves, her hair thrown up under any one of Dad's baseball caps as she lullabied the earthworms. Sunlight would lay on her back, and though Mama told me not to swear, I swore it sometimes sang along while the radio mumbled distantly. Damn Beatles, I'd sometimes catch her mutter underneath her tongue as she'd dump them immediately into a jar for a later offering to the birds. We stood pallets on their sides and filled them with pungent soil to grow thyme and lavender and such. I don't quite really remember all of the plants that made their home in the makeshift garden wall, but Mama told me we were a part of the future, that men with millions of dollars very far away were planting trees on skyscrapers. So I'd try to build higher too, until Mama stopped me and said, "Just do what you can do, sweetie. Someday maybe you can go higher." I'd slow down, and the birds would watch me with sharp eyes as I turned to the soil with bare hands. The radio would sing, and sometimes I'd hear about car wrecks, black clouds, and murder. Each time, I'd throw a beetle to the birds, sustain life, and let nature take its course with the parasites. At that time, it was all I could do.